Good morning and greetings to all of you in the precious name of Jesus. Christmas time, beautiful time, right? We all enjoy Christmas season, right? It's a joyous time, should be a joyous time. Lots of thoughts of joy, peace, goodwill. But I don't have to tell you this morning that as children of God, we have an enemy that is out to destroy that joy, that peace, that love. And so, this morning, I'd like to look briefly, quickly at Scripture uses quite a few different analogies about this warfare that we're in, about this enemy that we have that wants to destroy this joy and this peace in our hearts. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, reads this way, "Thou, therefore," and I think we can apply this for us here today, "endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Then he goes on to say, "No man or no woman that warreth entangleth," I think we understand what that word entangleth means, "entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Now turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Writer here, I think the Apostle Paul was the one who wrote this and gives us some interesting analogy here of being that good soldier to combat against this enemy that wants to destroy. I invite you to stand for the reading of the word. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll break in verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Let's pray. God, we thank you this morning for your word, and I pray, God, that you would open our eyes this morning to the truths of your word. We know, God, that we have an enemy who is out to destroy us, and I pray that this morning as we look into your word, that you would just give us a glimpse into what you've provided for us as your soldiers. We want to be good soldiers for you, God. And this morning I pray that you would just open the word to us and to claim by faith the promises of your word and to be able to apply it to our lives so that we can overcome the enemy and be good soldiers in your kingdom. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When I was reading that scripture in Ephesians there, can anyone tell me there's two words or phrases that I hope you caught that are repeated that I think is very significant in this scripture? Anyone? Surely someone. Whole armor. Why? The other words repeated numerous times. stand, that ye may be able to stand. I wonder this morning, I have a question for us this morning. I don't know, these are hypothetical questions and thoughts here. Suppose you and I could literally see with our physical eyes how every one of us was equipped in the spiritual realm, like you can see this young man dressed here this morning. Wonder how many of us would be here, or this past week, how many of us would be missing the helmet? How many of us would be missing the shield, or the spear, or the girdle of truth, the belt of truth? But they're all so important. I think it's, now every illustration has its limits, but think for a moment. I don't feel like carrying my shield today. I'm just going to leave that. You wouldn't even think of doing that, would you? Every piece had its place to play in this battle, this warfare that they were going into. And so I'd like to, by the grace of God, just look briefly. I know we could take this apart into every piece of this, the shield of faith, the girdle of truth, and make a message out of it. I've been looking at this, studying this. It's just been so blessed as I. But I fear sometimes maybe the enemy is getting advantage in our lives because we're missing a piece of the armor. We don't have the whole armor on. Satan, our enemy, is well aware of that, of any piece that is not on you. And he'll take advantage of that. It's to his advantage and to our detriment. Quote, we cannot fight for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, in the same manner that the nations of the world fight. For the moment we do, we are no longer the kingdom of Christ, but the kingdom of the world. We have to recognize as soldiers, as children of God, we are in a complete different battle than the world is in. It's not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual warfare that's going on. Who can tell me, I'm sure someone here, those of you who like history, what is significant about the date in U.S. history, December the 7th, 1941? Pearl Harbor attack. What was significant about that? Can you tell us what was about that attack that the U.S. was so soundly defeated?
They were unprepared.
It was a surprise. It was a total surprise attack. I say total. I'm not sure. Some of you know better than I do, but it was a surprise attack, and they were not prepared. And it was, there was a lot of destruction. Thousands of people lost their lives and were wounded, and I don't know how many battleships and what all was destroyed because of that. But I think there's a real spiritual lesson for us in that story. If Satan can get us to the place where we're just not prepared, we don't have on the whole armor, he knows when he can put those surprise attacks on us and use it to his advantage. So, if you forget everything else this morning, just remember that my key words, my punchline is the whole armor, that ye may be able to stand. Interesting in my studies, in James it tells us that we are to resist the devil. It's the same Greek word, resist and stand. So if we're able to stand, my thought is if we're able to stand, we are resisting the devil, right? All right, well, let's just another illustration here. And I think this was part of World War II maybe as well. Any of you familiar with the story of the battle at Normandy? It was a very fierce battle, I understand. And I'm thinking this was just maybe a movie that was put together to, you know, it's just of that
of that battle there, but stories told, as I heard it, read it, it was just very intense action going on, and the bullets were flying, you know. And suddenly, a bullet hit one of the men on his helmet and just ricocheted off, and someone else, a soldier, saw it. He's like, wow, that was close. He said, you know, hit you right in, and he's like, wow, that was something and close. And guess what he did? Took his helmet off to look at his helmet. That quick, he took a blow to the head and he was killed. And so, you know, we think that's foolish to do that in the physical battle like that. But friends, this morning we're talking about a battle that is much more serious than anything like that. It's a battle that life or death for eternity, eternal consequences. And so that brings a whole other level of seriousness to putting on the whole armor. The first one that he mentions here is the belt of truth. And I don't know what the girdle. And as I understand, that girdle pretty much that played a big part in holding everything together. I see the sword is in here. I think the breastplate, it had a big part to play with the breastplate to hold it in place. And also the shield to help support that. And I find it interesting that Paul used that analogy. You probably have many, many thoughts as you think about this analogy, but it's in the truth needs to be in the center of our being and our lives. Without truth, without the belt, things just begin to fall apart. And so I think maybe that's one of the reasons he used that as the belt of truth, because if you study into that, the belt, that girdle of truth, that girdle played a big part. And the other thing it did is, well, Scripture talks about girding up the loins of our minds even. Like when they went to battle, their robes were often pulled up and tucked into that belt because it was just, they were a lot freer to run and to, it wouldn't get in their way. And so it served many, many purposes. So I guess just a few questions. So as you think this morning about your warfare, your life, your battles, we all face them. How have they been turning out for you? Maybe we're missing a part of the armor that God wants us to have on. Another thing that I thought of that I'm sure was very important, and you understand this, boys, men, some of you like to enjoy working out. You understand that a certain diet, certain exercise is very important to all of that. And I'm sure it was very important to the soldiers as well. Is that they understood full well that they're not going to be fit, they're not going to have the endurance and the strength to endure as a good soldier if their diet was sitting around on the couch eating potato chips. That wouldn't cut it, just wouldn't. But in a spiritual sense, you know, we think the devil wants us to believe we're going to be strong by just, you fill in the blanks, sitting around and, you know, just fiddling around on Fox News and social media. I'm not, why don't you make me right this morning? Those things in themselves are not wrong. But if we're filling ourselves with just entangling ourselves with the things of this life, we're not going to be a good soldier. And that's part of the battle we're in. It's just part of that warfare that we're in, of being a good soldier and being strong and being able to stand. You know what? I told Luke, and I'm so thankful that he was willing to do this. But I told him I'm not going to make him stand up here the whole time. So I'm trying to think when I'm finished with the illustrations here, but I think you've got a good visual of my thought this morning. Is every piece of this armor is so important. You just wouldn't think of going out there to battle without this shield. Very important. The shield of faith. He says, above all, take the shield of faith. The helmet of salvation protects your head. Well, you understand how important that is, what goes into our mind to protect our head. The breastplate of righteousness, our identity in Christ, having on the robe of righteousness, walking in truth, living the truth. Only one offensive weapon. Only one. The rest is all defense here. Sword of the Spirit. So I want you to get the picture, you know, is you've got this shield, faith. Faith is this shield to ward off all those darts. But when our faith is strong, you can move toward the enemy with the sword of the Spirit in confidence. Fear. You know, if a soldier is afraid, you know what? You just begin to back off. It takes courage. It takes confidence to move or to stand against whatever's coming at us. Luke, I'm going to let you thank you for that, and I think they've gotten a good visual of what I'm trying to convey this morning. I want to open this thought up to you, brethren, and if this is wrong theology, I want you to tell me. Talks a lot here about standing. Jesus has won the victory, right, over Satan. Is it fair, is it right to say that as Christians, as children of God, as soldiers of His kingdom, does it make sense to say that we don't fight for victory, but that we fight from victory? By faith, we claim the victory that has been won. Maybe I'm playing with words there. And we simply stand by faith in that power, in that victory that has been won, and we claim it. And God gives us the power to stand. Be strong in the Lord, and here's another key word, in the strength of His, in the power of His might. Our human tendency is to think, look, I've got this. I can handle this. But the power has to come from God. The whole armor of God. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles. This word wiles here, some other words we could use is schemes. I understand the original Greek word here is methodeia, which is where we get our English word methods from. And so that makes a little sense in my mind. The devil has a lot of methods, ways to try to trip us up, to trick us. Methods, trickery, deceit. I think would be some other words that would fit well there. All right, the belt there. I just. Truth, so important, that truth governs our lives. That is so foundational in our lives. And like I said, that belt is, when you take that belt off of that armor, there are so many other things that just begin to fall apart in that armor, in the same way in our lives. It needs to be at the core, at the center of our lives, is truth. Jesus said that He is the truth, and of course that is the basis of truth, is just simply him being a part of our lives. I believe, and you understand this well, if Satan can, if he can get us to divide our loyalties, you know, we have clear scripture says that we are to love God first and foremost with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And the second is likened to it, to love our neighbors, ourselves. But if he can get us to have divided loyalties, where he's got a foothold to get us in the right direction, where he wants us to go. We're sincere, not, Scripture talks about being led astray from the simplicity or the sincerity of the Word of God. And I found this real interesting in my studies recently of this word, sincere. The simplicity that is in Christ is where we get our word sincere from. But the Latin word there, if I'm pronouncing this right, is sincerus, which means without wax. I'm like, what? Without wax. And what I found on that is that in years ago, there was a, and you know, pottery is still something we're familiar with, but when pottery was made, that you understand, it doesn't take a whole lot for pottery, gets dropped a little bit, it gets cracked. Well, these potters would, they want to sell their pottery, and sometimes it would get cracked, and so they found out a cunning way to kind of hide the cracks sometimes. They would take wax, melt the wax, and get it into those cracks. And they said the places where they would sell the pottery was often kind of low lit, and buyers would come in, and it was hard to detect. But there was one thing that some found out that, and we've probably done this with other things. So they would take the piece of pottery they were interested in and step outside and hold it up to the sun toward the light. You ever done that with something? To really check it out, just hold it up to the real bright light. And if there was a hairline crack, even with the wax in it, many times they were able to detect it that way. And, you know, I was thinking about that illustration in our Christian lives. We need to be sincere, sun-tested, as it were, without wax. Easy for us sometimes, things that come into our lives to just, you know, just kind of smooth it over and kind of make excuses for ourselves. We just, you know, we just kind of patch it up with some wax. But when it's held to the light of God, it reveals what's really, really there. So we need to be very careful against letting hypocrisy come into our lives. Such a subtle thing. Sun tested. The breastplate of righteousness, very important piece. We know the physical sense. This is a very vulnerable part of our body. You know, you've got your lungs and your heart. So, I mean, if you take a good blow to the chest area, it can be very devastating and fatal. Breastplate of righteousness. As children of God, we put on. Scripture talks about putting on that robe of righteousness. And it's more than just that initial step when you say, Lord, come into my life. But it's an ongoing process in our lives of walking in truth, walking as children of light, walking in righteousness, and to be able to be clothed in his righteousness. The word devil, the Greek word for the word devil, simply means false accuser. And I think here's where the real battle lies for just many times. It's like he's a liar, he's a false accuser, he's a father of lies. And I don't care who you are this morning, what you've experienced, we've all experienced different things in our past.
Satan is smart enough, cunning enough to find something for every one of us here this morning.
Julian, he knows exactly where, you know, to bring it to get you to start to question, to doubt. Oh, do you remember that back there? You know, it's because of that, you know. I mean, it's unfortunate, but I know I have this problem, but, and the list could go on and on.
And none of our stories are the same. But we have a choice to either combat that with the shield of faith, with the whole armor. God has provided everything we need. There's so much reasoning that goes on up here. Yeah, but you don't understand. God understands. Jesus understands. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. One of the beautiful things is that God, that Jesus was willing to take on himself flesh and blood, human flesh, become man, is that he is able to feel and to know exactly what every one of us go through. He's been there. He's been tempted. He's felt that. But Satan's, his trick is to make you believe, make you doubt. Yeah, I know he did it for them, but me, I mean, you don't understand what, you know, and it goes on and on. We go round and round with this thing in our, what we're doing is doubting. We're doubting God. Do you believe God is able? And I know we say this, we say, yeah, it's easy to say this, but to, it gets down, I know that's where the test is. I'll never forget, some years back, Johnny Miller was at our congregation and talked about the billboard ministry. And they had been involved, many years over there at the Romanian orphanage. The orphan children were going to give a program one night. And so they were there at the program. So he was just sitting there, just enjoying the thing. It was beautiful. Suddenly his eyes fell on this young girl. If I remember right, she was only 12 or 13. She's a young girl. He said the joy that was coming from her face was just, I mean, it was just there. I mean, she couldn't hide it. And so I found myself, well, who is this girl? What's her life story? That's the girl that watched her father murder her mother. And he's like, how can she be up there just singing? It's like joy was just flowing from her face and her lips. But it was there, so obvious. Somehow, she chose, by faith, with the armor of God, to believe God rather than looking at her circumstances. And that's a challenge as you think about your own life. And we can't hide that from others of our circumstances and things we've been. There's many things that we face in life we have no control over. But God has given us the ability to choose. And he has provided us with the whole armor that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Joy is such an important part of
being victorious in our battle. Confidence. Claiming his righteousness brings confidence in. All Satan wants to do is to get us to doubt, to bring fear into our lives. And we know what that does. It cripples us very quickly. I'm trying to figure out what I want to touch on next. There's so much in this portion here. The footwear, we all know that having a in this soldier you were looking at, do you think it was pretty important if you had good sure footing to be able to do what you want to do? I understand they were more like a sandal with little cleats, something like that. But so important, so important. I mean, if you don't have good footing, what much good are you? And I don't know, I struggle with this one a little bit. The gospel of peace, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It is a gospel of peace. There's something, we all long for peace. We want peace. Peace in our hearts brings with it sure footing. It gives us confidence. And Philippians 4:7 says, "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Isaiah, we have a scripture, a prophetic scripture, it talks about how beautiful are the feet of them that proclaim the good tidings upon the mountaintops. And I think that's another key part of this, I think, is that as good soldiers is to proclaim the good news. There's something about sharing your story with others about the victories and what God is doing and has done that gives you even more courage and more faith and strengthens you in this battle. So much for that. I'm sure there's a lot more that you can think of in that part of it. The shield of faith. He says here above all, and there's so much, and that could be a message or two all in its own there about faith. But again, I believe that's one of the key things. It's just simply Satan comes at us with these darts, with these thoughts, these lies, these doubts, and we can choose to by faith just believe. Believe God or begin to doubt and to believe Satan's lies. Stand on the promises of God. Scripture is full of some beautiful examples as I think about men who literally, spiritually had that shield of faith. I thought of the 12 spies that went to spy out the land. And children, you know that song, 12 men went to spy out Canaan. 10 were bad, 2 were good. 10 of them saw what? They saw giants. 2 of them saw God. And in my mind, it's a beautiful picture of 2 men that had their shield of faith. They had the whole armor on. They were seeing God. They were looking at God. The other 10 were looking or thinking about the circumstances. And that's where the rubber meets the road. It's either we look at the circumstances, or we look at God and claim his power. And story of Peter walking on the water. There's just the story, scripture's full of examples. We could look at that. Helmet of salvation. Helmet is so important. Protecting our, and I just want to, I guess, for all of us, but youth and all of us here this morning is, we can't get around the fact that what goes in here affects what comes out of here and plays itself out in everyday life. We can't get around that. We can say all we want, but it's not going to really make... It's a lie from the devil. It will make a difference. It just... God has made us that way. And so it's so... I think it's good for me to
to stop and think about what you've been thinking about recently. What goes through your mind a lot? I mean, it tells you so much about what's shaping your life, what you're becoming. It's just the way it is. And what shapes what's going on up here, it has a lot to do with the things I look at, things I listen to, the things I feed on. Listen to it, there's just, we have to discipline ourselves in that. The helmet of salvation. Just again, as children, as soldiers of God, remembering our identity in Christ is so important. As we've enlisted in this kingdom as soldiers of Jesus Christ, and remembering our identity in Him. Get in this thing of salvation and good works, and you know that's another lie of the devil. There's this ditch of, you know, we're not saved by works. Bible's clear on that. We're saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. Scripture does say we are created unto good works. It is a fruit. It's the fruit of salvation, not the root. Grace, we are saved by grace. And then thirdly, the last one is the sword of the Spirit. I found this interesting, is that the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Someone mentioned that in the men's class this morning, is that a lot of times in Scripture, the word, the original word for the word is logos. But in verse 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, what I found is rhema, which means utterance. The utterance of God. Jesus was a beautiful example, a perfect example of this, and when Satan came to tempt him. It is written, and he used the word. And that doesn't happen automatically. The word has to be in here. It has to be part of our life. We don't have time like, I know, you know, when we're facing something, well, let me get my smartphone out. Let me get my concordance out. I'm sure there's something there, but we need to have it in here. When Satan comes, yes, you know, by the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. And we, by faith, we hold up that shield of faith and we claim the promises of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Hiding God's word in our heart as part of thee. Well, I know we've barely scratched the surface on the armor. There's so much, and I've been studying on this at home, and I had actually divided this up into several messages at home, and so I'm having a little difficulty knowing how to. I want to close with a little again, just the importance of the whole armor. The whole armor is so important that we. And Satan knows when there's something missing there and where he can get into our lives. Close with a little story. The story is told of a Haitian pastor who was talking to his congregation, preaching to his congregation, and he told them, he has a little parable for them. And an illustration of how the devil works. And he told him, he said, I want you to understand you can't even give the devil as much as one square inch of your life. It's not much, is it? Just for sake of illustration. He said there was a man, had a house. Their setting was a very modest house. He put it up for sale. Put it up for sale for $10,000. Someone else saw it up for sale and said, hey, you know what? That's we could use that house very well. It would suit and meet our needs well.
There's no way I can pay $10,000 for it. He went and he met the man. He said, look, I think this fits our needs well. This would be a very suitable house for us. But he said, there's no way I can give you $10,000 for it. I'll give you $5,000. Man said, no, there's no way I can do that. Well, there was just some back and forth negotiating. Finally, the owner said, look, you can have it for $5,000 with one stipulation. If I can keep one square inch right above the door, that's my property. You can have the rest of the house for $5,000. Man was like, fair enough. I mean, yeah, I'll give you $5,000 for it. So he did. Time went on. I don't know how much time went on. This man was like, man, I sold that house way too cheap. I really like to have my house back. He said something to the man. No, he said, I'm not going. One day the man that had previously owned the house, he got an idea. Took a dead dog. I know this sounds pretty gruesome. Remember this little illustration, a little parable that he gave. He took a dead dog. He drove a big nail into that one square inch above the door that was his property. Like, I mean, that's off limits for anyone else. That's his property. From that nail, he hung this dead carcass dog right by the front door. The stench got so bad, it drove the people out of the house. And his point was, the moral of the story is, you give the devil one inch of your life. Sometimes we think it's just a little thing. Just a little thing. That one little spot. Just that one little secret thing. But this is what he told him. He said, you know what? The devil will hang his garbage on that one little spot, that one little square inch. And you can't negotiate with the devil. You can't negotiate with him. Right, I have that written down. We have this saying that, you know, you give him as much as a toehold in your life. If you give him a toehold, he'll get a foothold. Once he gets a foothold, he gets more. And finally, it's a stronghold. And he's got you. That's where he wants it. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand. And he says, and having done all, to stand, he says again. I thought of, and Paul, interesting enough, Paul alludes to this analogy again on when he comes to his dying day. What did he say? What a beautiful testimony. He has to be part of our life now. He says, I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. What a challenge to be able to say that. You get to the end of life. I have fought a good fight. I've been a good soldier for Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of life, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. May God bless each one as we put on the whole armor of God. And we stand strong as good soldiers, enduring hardness until our dying day. It's not over until it's over. God bless you. Let's kneel in prayer.